What's up, everybody? This is Mitch Lowry, and you are listening to the Fully Fit Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in for today's episode. And if you are not familiar with the podcast, welcome. It's great to have you here. And if you are already familiar with the podcast, then welcome back. And thanks for continuing to listen on. So without further ado, today's episode is going to definitely challenge you in some ways. We are going to talk a lot about caffeine and what that looks like in our day-to-day lives. And then also I'm going to talk a little bit about this challenge that I'm going to be doing myself and be putting out to you guys to be able to partake in. And hopefully you guys can gain some awesome stuff from it. So I will talk about that in the episode. So make sure you stay tuned and listen all the way through. You do not want to miss any of the information that I'm going to be covering today. It's going to be good stuff for you. So without further ado, here is your latest episode of the Fully Fit Podcast. What is up, my friends? This is Mitch Lowry, and on today's episode, I'm going to talk to you guys about caffeine. Caffeine can be pretty interesting, to say the least. It is something that we feel like we know a ton about, and you know, I feel like everybody has experienced caffeine in some realm. So it's something that when I say that the word caffeine, you know, you probably think of coffee, you probably think of pre-workout, whatever that kind of stuff brings to your mind, but the fun part about caffeine is that as I did a lot of research on it, I started to understand how much I actually don't know about caffeine. And so that was pretty cool just to be able to learn more about it. And that's what I'm going to share with you guys today. The goal is that I am going to be kicking off a cycling challenge. So it's going to be the caffeine cycling challenge. At the end of this episode, I'll kind of talk how that's going to look and, you know, what that would look like for you. And the goal of that is just to be able to have some fun around this topic that I feel like is very important. So kind of dive into some just baseline, you know, like general questions and stuff about caffeine. And obviously the first one is like, what is caffeine? Basically, it's a natural stimulant that is most commonly found in, you know, coffee, tea, things like that. And it just basically works by stimulating the brain and the central nervous system. So a lot of people use it for that intended purpose of like feeling alert, preventing the onset of tiredness, you know, whatever the reason may be. But it's shown that about like 90% of Americans consume caffeine. You probably know that most people use it for the same reason. It's you want to not feel tired, or you want to have a better mood, you know, in the mornings. You want to wake up, not feel as tired going into your activities that you're doing. Pretty common stuff there. You know, the main thing that we're going to look at is also like the amounts that are safe versus the amounts that start to be a little bit too extreme. So, you know, for the general population, if you consume 200 milligrams a day, it's about a fair amount. And studies show that like if you consume a moderate amount, the benefits actually outweigh the risks. So, you know, if you're somebody who drinks like 1-2 cups of coffee, 3 cups of coffee a day, like you're totally fine. If you're abusing caffeine though, that's something else that we're going to dive into. That's something where we're going to look a little bit more at like how much you're consuming and what the effects of that could be. So, you know, caffeine's widely used because it makes us feel good. It gives us energy and all that good stuff. But those are all actually similar effects that are similar to things like amphetamines and cocaine. And studies show that it's actually the brain is actually affected in the same region with caffeine as those drugs. And so we have to look at caffeine as a drug. It's actually not just a stimulant. It is a drug. A lot of times we think of cocaine as this like terrible thing, and I'm not saying that it's not, but you know, we think of cocaine as like a terrible thing, but then caffeine, we think of it as like the gift from God. And you know, it is a great tool if utilized properly, but it has very similar effects, and it's basically the same reaction in the brain as cocaine. So, you know, we can't think of caffeine as just like not a drug, because it actually is. And so, you know, when we talk about caffeine, I want you guys to kind of keep that in mind of like, you know, and we'll get into this as well, but you know, how it can be abused, just like any other thing, such as cocaine, alcohol, you know, things like that. So how does caffeine work? I know this was one that like kind of took me back because I just didn't really understand it. But once you consume caffeine, it's quickly absorbed from your gut into the bloodstream. And from there, it travels to the liver and gets broken down into compounds that basically affect the function of various organs. But most of it is in terms of the brain. So basically how it works is it functions by blocking the effects of adenosine, which is a neurotransmitter that relaxes the brain and makes you feel tired. So, you know, as you go throughout your day, that neurotransmitter basically builds up over time, and the adenosine makes you feel more tired. It makes you want to go to sleep. And then when you consume caffeine, those caffeine molecules bind to the adenosine and make you feel awake because they're blocking the tired signal. So, you know, caffeine often gets the rap of like giving you energy or that you gain energy as you consume it. It's actually not true. It's actually the opposite. It just blocks you from being tired. So it gives like a false sense of energy, so to say. So that was pretty interesting. I always assumed that caffeine just was like something that gave you energy as you consumed it. And it's not true. It actually just kind of makes you not feel tired, so to say. So another fun fact is that like it also increases your blood adrenaline levels, and can increase the brain activity of the neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine. This combination further stimulates the brain and promotes a state of arousal, alertness, and focus. So again, kind of going back to the benefits of like why it blocking those like the tired molecules would have an effect, you know, it makes you feel better. So that's why a lot of people consume caffeine, and it's not wrong to do so, but you know, it is one of those things that, again, going back to how much we consume is going to come into play as we look at how beneficial it can be. So the benefits of consuming caffeine, there's definitely a few that are pretty awesome. The main thing is to understand that, you know, studies find that when you drink it in a moderate amount, the potential benefits do outweigh the risks that are related to it. So, you know, a moderate amount, you could think of it as like 2 to 3 cups a day, or about 200 milligrams again, of caffeine would be considered normal. So yeah, a few fun facts for you. You know, obviously it helps improve your alertness, your short-term memory recall, and your reaction time. One study actually linked drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day to a 45% lower risk of suicide. And then also another study reported a 13% lower risk of depression. So not only does it have a benefit to just how you feel in terms of like being awake and stuff, but it also definitely helps with your mood and then your brain function as well. More caffeine isn't necessarily better though. So like, you know, studies show that when you consume one cup of coffee or like just a little bit of caffeine, you're still going to see the same amount of benefit as you would if you were to drink a second cup. So by drinking that second cup, it actually gave like no further benefits unless it was consumed at least 8 hours after. And that's just because caffeine has such a short time frame in terms of its effectiveness, where it almost starts working immediately and then it lasts about 4 to 6 hours within the body. So if you're somebody who's drinking multiple cups, you know, every hour or two, that's not going to give you any more benefit than if you were to space those out and drink less throughout the day, so to say. So yeah, and then another fun fact is that drinking between 3 to 5 cups of coffee per day may also reduce the risk of brain diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So not only does it have an effect on us right here in the moment, but it could also play into our long-term health with the brain as we consume it. So also now going into like exercise, obviously that's a big one for a benefit of caffeine. Basically, the way that caffeine helps us perform is that it basically decreases the amount of fatigue that we're going to feel in the short term. So it increases your tolerance to fatigue, I should say. So it helps to improve muscle contractions, which obviously is going to help with your force production and things of that nature. But it's also going to help you just be able to be efficient. you know? So it's not a huge amount. It's not like it's going to take your performance up like 50% from where it's from. It may only be as little as like 5%, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, 5% over time makes a whole heck of a lot difference of performance than if you were to just keep it normal. So the real main question becomes, how much caffeine should I be taking in? And that's going to be dependent upon you as a human. You know, I know a lot of people, whether it's that their tolerance is just very low, or you know, maybe they just don't consume a lot of caffeine. As they consume caffeine, they feel like they want to freaking run through a wall. They're jittery, they're anxious, all these things. You have to take that into account. Somebody like myself, I don't even really feel any of the benefits anymore of caffeine because I've been abusing it for a long time. And so when I drink a cup of coffee, it's basically like I'm just enjoying a better tasting version of water. So, you know, for some people, you have to be careful with what you're currently taking in and then be able to base your consumption off of that. You have to know how you feel, how you react to caffeine, all of those things. What's recommended is about 200 milligrams per day. You know, that's again, general. It's not for you. It's just like, that's a pretty average amount. Up to 400 milligrams is about the safe range. So the US Food and Drug Administration basically suggests like 400 is the upper limit of that safe range. Anything above that starts to get a little bit jeopardizing in terms of the risks outweighing the benefits. So, you know, when you start to consume more than that, that can start to pose a danger to your heart health, because it can lead to things like high blood pressure. So, you know, it really just starts to get into, how much are you consuming? Are you doing more than 400 milligrams a day? If so, maybe we need to bring that down, because the long-term benefits are not as, or the, sorry, the long-term risk is more potent at that point in time. So that really just begs the question of like, why would we cut out caffeine? Why would we, you know, decrease our amount of caffeine? All of those kinds of things. Like I kind of said before, you know, caffeine can produce anxiety and jitteriness linked to an increase in anxiety and depression, especially in children. And it can exaggerate the body's response to stress by increasing your heart rate and blood pressure. You know, so it really can just affect you in a negative way if abused. Something really, really crazy is that data shows that daily consumption of caffeine is associated with increased risk of osteoporosis, colorectal cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And it's also been shown to disrupt your sleep. So anybody who, you know, has consumed caffeine prior to bed, you understand like that stuff can really mess up your ability to get into a deep REM cycle. You know, it can obviously play into then how you feel the next day, and then hence the vicious cycle of like relying on the caffeine. There's also effects on newborns that can be significant. So studies indicate that caffeine intake by pregnant women is associated with an increased risk of delivering babies with low birth weight through growth retardation. So, you know, not only is it affecting you, but if you're a pregnant woman, like, can affect your child as well. So there's a lot of risk out there, especially when in high amounts of caffeine intake, that might just not be worth it. So that's why for us, you know, low to moderate consumption is going to be safe and allows for you to reap the benefit of what benefits there are with caffeine, but not jeopardize, you know, having any of those negative side effects that could come about. You know, an increasing number of people are starting to become dependent on caffeine. I think that's pretty apparent in our culture today, where, you know, we are relying, kind of like I just said before, with the vicious cycle of like, we're tired, we wake up, we have coffee, we keep drinking coffee throughout the day, we have energy drinks, whatever it is, we're trying to basically reduce our tiredness. And what's happening is you're eventually becoming more dependent on a higher amount of caffeine to get you through the day. And, you know, at that point, now you're starting to get crappy sleep. Now you're waking up even more tired. You know, that leads to you just in this bad spot where you are totally dependent on caffeine as a stimulant to help you get through your day. So places like the World Health Organization and other healthcare professionals are starting to recognize that, you know, caffeine dependence is a legitimate clinical disorder. It's no longer just thought of as like, oh, you just drink too much coffee, or, you know, whatever, you just enjoy caffeine too much. it's a legitimate clinical disorder. You know, symptoms, those things like a strong desire to consume it, difficulties in controlling use of it, persisting in use despite harmful consequences, a higher priority given to like consuming it versus other activities and obligations, increased tolerance and sometimes a physical withdrawal state. So those are all things like, you know, I can think of for myself, like I have a strong desire to drink coffee in the morning. It's hard for me to control the use of it because I really enjoy it. It's especially a very habitual type thing if I'm sitting down to do work or anything along those lines. You know, obviously the harmful consequences I am more understanding of now, but you know, going into things like the higher priority given to it than other activities, like I can think of, like I make a point to stop at the coffee shop or I go to certain places based on their coffee to do work. So it's like I'm making choices around that versus the out of like any other thing. And then obviously the tolerance thing is the main thing. Like once you drink too much caffeine, there is no like you're going to get a great buzz off of it or you're going to feel super energized by it. You know, after a while, your body just becomes pretty much like pretty used to what it's getting. And it's almost this like double-edged sword of you are not even getting any more energy, but you need the caffeine to keep you at the energy level that you're at. Otherwise, you're going to feel even more tired as you go throughout your day. So modern day marketing doesn't want you to think of caffeine as this bad thing or, you know, the stimulant, this drug that can have like negative effects on you or that you could actually become addicted to and have a clinical disorder. You know, marketing wants you to think that caffeine's the gift that keeps on giving. They want you to think of it as this awesome thing. Everybody needs it. You need it to perform well. And, you know, we kind of downplay the significance of what caffeine can actually do in our lives. So, I mean, the main takeaway of all of that information above and all those bullet points and everything is just, you know, you should be in control of your caffeine usage. Caffeine should not be using you, and you should not be falling victim to addiction with caffeine. I think that's one of my biggest things, especially with my Christian faith. Like, you know, I'm not called to be addicted to anything. I'm meant to have full control of my body and be able to be in full control to not let something be addictive in terms of, you know, whether that be caffeine or smoking or anything like that. Like that is a huge thing for me in terms of self-empowerment to be able to know that you're in control of something that you're using and being able to know that, you know, you're using it in the right way for the benefits that it's giving you and not for, you know, the drug use or the addiction type way. So with that being said, why am I talking all about caffeine and everything? Well, I've just been realizing recently just how much I've been consuming. And when I started looking into caffeine, I just knew that I needed to do something about it. You know, I needed to gain control over it, and I was looking for how to do just that. The crappy part is that the common assumption with caffeine is that if you don't want to be drinking as much caffeine, just cut it out. Like just stop drinking it. I know a lot of people that I've talked to have done away with caffeine at some point in their life, and I think that's great. The problem is that I view things like cutting it out as a quick way to relapse and go right back into the behavior that you were doing before. I'm looking for a much more sustainable approach to it that gives me the ability to control it at any point in my life without giving it up, and also helps me to learn along the way of like what my body likes and the amounts that would give me benefit. So, you know, when I was creating the caffeine cycling challenge, it was basically my way of giving you a resource that helps you be able to cut something out in a realistic approach, but then also allows you to enjoy it whenever you want to. So, you know, you don't have to think of this as a hard cut or anything like that. You can simply think of this as something that's going to help you gain control over it. So the goals of this challenge are going to be, you know, you're not going to be addicted to caffeine, but you're actually going to have a relationship with it and be able to utilize it when you want to. You can gain some self-control and be able to create a healthy change for yourself. And the fun fact about that is if you do this with caffeine, you can do it with other things. You know, I've actually, one of my favorite things that anybody's ever really told me about nutrition is just that anything that you consume regularly, you should be able to cut it out at some point in time to see how your body does without it, and then slowly reintroduce it back into your system to see how your body does with it. Caffeine's one of those things we don't often take out because of the withdrawal symptoms and everything like that that, you know, it offers. So I think this is a great way for you to be able to gain some self-control, understand how caffeine actually affects you, and then be able to bring it back in a way that you'll actually get the benefits from a feeling standpoint. It'll help you save some money too. So, you know, if you're somebody who spends a lot of money on like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or anything like that, you'll put a little bit of extra money back in your pocket knowing that you don't need to buy coffee all the time, and that you don't have to rely on it. And then also it'll help you get you back to a point where you can really just enjoy it. You know, I think a lot of times for me, I think of coffee as like a need versus a want. And, you know, as we enjoy life, nothing should ever be something that we need, but it should always be things that we want. So being able to enjoy caffeine in any sense, when we can do it in a proper way, I think it's awesome. And as we talked about before, the benefits will be, you know, totally there. So, all right. How to do the caffeine cycling challenge. So we're going to first start off by reducing our caffeine intake, and versus a hard cut, we're going to do a slow reduction. So a slow reduction is going to look like this. The first week of this challenge, you're just going to simply count your current amount that you're taking in. So it's, you can think of it as like if you're tracking food with MyFitnessPal or anything like that, it's just simply getting a number and getting data. So, you know, let's just say, for instance, your daily average is 400 milligrams. I don't want you to, like, on the first week of this challenge, try and cut it down to like 200 milligrams. I want you to simply enjoy your last week of like full caffeine intake that you're currently experiencing. And then that's just going to give us some data to be able to go from. Now, step two is going to be, you're going to slowly cut back. So each following week, you're going to be doing a 50% reduction. So what that would look like is, say, if I consume 400 milligrams per day, first week, just keeping it at 400, just kind of, you know, tracking that, making sure I'm staying right around that number. Then week two, I'm going to take it down to 200 milligrams per day. So I'm going to remove some caffeine out of my diet, but I'm still going to get some in. So that way my body doesn't freak out and I don't go through that huge withdrawal state. Week three, I'm going to cut that down again to 50%. So it's going to be 100 milligrams per day. And then by week four, we should be down to zero. So it's going to be a 4-week process to get us back down to not consuming caffeine. But because we're doing it in a gradual manner, it's going to remove a lot of those things that are often associated with removal of caffeine from your diet. So the headaches, you know, the nauseous feelings, anything like that, we're doing away with that because we're doing the slow reduction. So the cool part is you can carry that out for as long as you want to. If you don't want to consume caffeine at all for the rest of your life, you have now done it so that you could do that. If you want to reintroduce caffeine, I'm going to talk about how to do that as well. And I think the way that we'll reintroduce it will gain you a lot more benefit than if you were to just go right back into, you know, consuming what you were consuming before. So if you just started back consuming with, you know, let's use 400 milligrams again as what you were doing before. If you started consuming 400 milligrams right away after this challenge, your body's gonna freaking hate you. It's gonna freak out. You're gonna be super jittery, super anxious. Like, you're gonna get all the negative effects of what you just wanted to get away from. And then also you kind of just wasted the last 4 weeks. So my biggest thing is, do not go right back to drinking what you drank before. I want you guys to be in control of this as we come back into drinking caffeine. And it's gonna basically be in the reverse approach to what we were doing before. So when we took things out, we did a 50% decrease. It's going to look the same on the other end of reintroduction. So Let's say your first week you're consuming no milligrams of caffeine per day. The second week you're gonna then bump it up to 100 milligrams per day. 100 milligrams, pretty standard. It's about 1 to 2 cups of coffee, depending on, you know, how strong your coffee is. And what you're using that week of time as is more of a trial to see how your body responds to the caffeine and seeing if you want to stay there or if you want to reintroduce more as well. So if your body likes 100 milligrams per day, cool, ride that out, do it as long as you need to. If your body wants more, and if you think that you would benefit from having more, the following week you're gonna take it up to 200 milligrams per day. So in that type of a format, you're essentially never reaching past 200 milligrams because, as we said before, if you're consuming that, the benefits outweigh the risks and life should be pretty good. You're gonna get all the benefits from it, you're gonna feel great, but you're not gonna be reliant upon it and you're gonna no longer have a dependency for it. So, you know, definitely taking that into consideration as we bring things back. We want to maintain a level of being in control and not letting the caffeine control us. So that is pretty much it. I mean, your new life with caffeine, like, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to feel more in control of how often you drink caffeine, how much you're drinking. You know, you're not going to need to rely on caffeine to make you feel awake anymore or anything. And you'll now have a system that'll help you be able to feel your best going into your day. I can't stress enough too, as you guys do this challenge, the main thing is that you want to make sure you're hydrated, you're getting enough sleep, and that you're eating a lot of good food. Good food being like vegetables, lean proteins, things of that nature. The better that you are doing in those realms, the better that you're gonna feel with your caffeine as well. And the less you're going to need to feel like you need to rely on caffeine to get you through the day and everything. So, you know, I'm really excited for this. What I want is for this challenge to start on September 1st. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing this stuff all over my Instagram. What you guys can do is shoot me a message or email saying that you are interested in doing this challenge. I will be sending out a PDF that will contain all of this information for you and also has like a lot of detail just in terms of caffeine and like just being able to take a lot of information away from it. And then we'll also give you kind of steps to help you with tracking and figuring out how much you need and everything like that. So if you guys are still listening, thank you for tuning in. And hopefully you guys will catch me soon. My life has been pretty busy recently, so that's why I was not able to get a podcast out for a while. But I'm back. I got some interviews coming up soon, and you guys should be hearing more content from me in terms of this. So reach out if you guys have any questions. Feel free to message me or email me. And if you guys have no questions, I will hopefully be hearing from you about starting this challenge. I think anybody that drinks caffeine should be able to do this challenge and get something from it. And other than that, you guys are awesome. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.